Committee meetings for November 1st, 2010 will come to order. Please turn off our cell phones, electronic devices. And now, at my advanced years, I have Debbie writing down whose turn it is to do the pledge. It's Mr. Andre.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember O'Leary.
Here.
Councilmember Bouchard. Councilmember Abear.
Here.
Councilmember Andre.
Here.
Councilmember Kershaw.
Present.
Attorney Acosta.
Here.
Mayor Norman.
Here. Tonight, we have Mr. Stephen Laporte with Acadian Monitoring Services. The chief has asked that he be given an opportunity to make a presentation to us. Mr. Laporte, I assume that's you, since you don't want a stranger in the room.
That's me.
Yeah, yeah, please.
I'm Stephen Laporte. I'm with Acadian Monitoring Services. We're a division of Acadian Ambulance, and we provide GPS tracking for anyone who needs to track a vehicle or an asset, or a person maybe if they have a foot pursuit or whatever. We have to where you can pull up reports as far as idle times if you have a vehicle, whether it be a pound vehicle or a unit, to see how long the vehicle has been sitting. If you have a certain amount of time and you want that vehicle idling, then you can get reports, detailed reports, stop reports, route reports. He may have a route that he wants his units to patrol. It may be a subdivision or a certain part of the town, and he can go back and check that. You can get the reports emailed to him, text on his phone. If you have excessive speeding, say if it's over 80, he wants to know, you know, what vehicle it is and why, then he'll be able to get any kind of information that he is looking for from these reports. Now, I'm not sure as far as the town. I believe you have a few vehicles, some that some of the town members use. I don't know if that's what you're looking to keep track of. Many people use it for different things. A lot of people use it for maintenance, to keep up maintenance on their vehicles, which could go to the shop foreman, so they can keep up all changes or, you know, whatever needs to be done to those vehicles in order for them to last longer, rather than just letting them run the wheels off of them.
Well, the reason here is because Jamie's interested, so Jamie, why don't you cover what you would do with the...
Basically, a lot of the stuff I'm interested in, which he can answer any questions you may have, say I require whoever's working to patrol every street in the town 5 times a day. Well, in the morning or whenever, I can come in and look on the thing and make sure they patrol each street. It'll show you an exact route they went. If they go to Waffle House and sit there for 5 hours, it'll tell me that car sat idle at that address for 5 hours. Now, of course, I want to know what they were doing at Waffle House for 5 hours. It's kind of a pair of eyes out there that's you can set up geofencing, they call it. If I say, hey, y'all are not to leave outside the town limits of rule, if they break that barrier, you know, it'll be on that report in the morning, or I can have an alert sent to the phone. If they're doing 70 miles an hour, I can, same thing, it'll be on that report. It tells you, and that's up. Gave y'all a packet of what he gave me, different reports, different styles you can get, different stuff you can see. You can set up your maintenance. That way I know I get a report telling me when it's time for their oil to be changed, and I can go out there and look and see if it's done. You know, see if, because it's their responsibility to take care of their maintenance. Tires, inspection stickers, all of that stuff. And it's presented, you know, in the email each day. Or I can go in and pull up and see where any car is at any given time. If they're on their 2 off days, well, of course, that car shouldn't do much moving, you know, but it'll tell you that car sat idle for 48 hours. It tells you how many times they turned it on and off. I've been looking, it's been a couple of years since this really came out, and Acadian's one of the monitoring services that the well, actually, it's the only one that the Chiefs Association supports. Yeah, he represents them. They do have some agencies and some towns outside that.
Currently, we have Kaplan, Pearl River, Oshtula, St. Francisville, Tickfa, Oswego, Gretna, City of Gretna.
St. Francisville is pretty much identical police department size as to what we have.
We have Ascension, Cameron Parish. So we have a lot of entities within governmental agencies that we service.
And what is the cost of this?
Depends on the unit. Currently, with I think you may need around six, you're looking at around $279 per unit. And then you get a governmental price on the service, which you're looking at around $21 a month for the service.
Per unit?
Per unit.
Per unit.
That's correct.
$279 would be the initial flat fee.
That's correct.
That's the hardware, the GPS part and the installation and stuff.
Now, there's no software to purchase. As long as you have an internet access, you can pull up your vehicles.
A lot of companies that do it require a hardware purchase, which is the actual module that goes in the vehicle, and then you got to purchase their software.
Right.
To be able to view it, and it's not, real time. So, and there's different pricing plans. I think I gave y'all
This quote is not accurate. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's just something he worked up and threw out there to me. Right. I think we had included five units.
Right. Yeah, five.
And then, of course, down below, the monthly monitoring fees.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that.
1 minute.
It says 1 minute, 2 minute, 5 minute. What is that?
That's a refresh rate. That's
that way you can track the vehicles every 1, 2, or 5 minutes.
If you actually pull it up right now and look at it, depending on what tracking rate we decided was best for us, it's not going to give you another good idea where they're at.
In other words, it takes a picture, and then 5 seconds later, it takes another picture.
Right.
I don't know if you lose it for that during that 5 minute interval, right?
Somewhat. I mean, you're not, it's got to keep it in the system, but it's not going to have an actual live track that every 1, 2, or 5 minutes, whatever.
Right, but but the next 5 minutes, it'll show you what happened during the previous 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. It's a snapshot. Every 5 seconds, every 5 minutes, 2 minutes, or 1 minute, whatever you choose.
So like my little streets, say 300 yards long.
Right.
If they turn on my street in a 5 minute refresh on Anita, and he goes all the way down Van Zuul, and he comes back and he's on Anita, and he's on Main Street after 5 minutes, it's not even going to show that he went on.
Yeah, it will on your report. Yeah. Just as far as live tracking, right. We're sitting here now looking at it. It'll show you like you just said. But the next morning, you go pull up the email, look at whatever reports you have set up. It's going to show you the exact route, where they went.
Right.
As far as live,
the whole route.
Right. As far as live tracking, sitting here now, if we wanted to watch what all five cars were doing, it would refresh at either 5, 2, or 1.
It'll show you a cookie program, and if you click on it, it'll show you speed at that point also.
What is the cost per $279, you said? And that includes insulation?
That's $279 per unit?
Per unit.
That's for the hardware, right?
So for six units, that's $1,680 or close to it.
No, the insulation is what? What's the insulation?
Installation is $600 for $65 per unit.
So it's $279 plus $65, and activation fee, I see you have zero on there.
No, yeah, we won't charge activation fee.
All right, now that's to get it installed into it.
Now we got a town, north to south is 1 mile.
Mm-hmm.
East to west is about 2 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And we need GPS to keep track of 7 Copco.
I think it, not necessarily.
I'm not buying what he's selling right here out today.
Right.
In my mind.
Not necessarily.
We can't keep track of our police officers. We got more issues than the GPS.
Yeah. My goal is not necessarily to keep track, to sit there and watch a live feed.
I just think it's a waste of money.
Okay. my idea was the fact that, you know, somebody comes in off a Live Oak and says, I don't ever see a cop car pass, they never pass. You can pull his reports up and you can see exactly how many times it's.
Well, we can go sit there and watch him pass.
Right.
I ain't trying to rain on your parade, man.
Yeah.
I support a lot of things, but this is not one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, we, it's a condition of the employment to be where they're supposed to be.
Oh, absolutely.
We need to get absolutely. Some more people.
Absolutely.
I don't buy this.
Y'all have any questions for Mr. LaPorte? Any others? Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next we have Mr. Clitus Langwell, proposed T&D ordinance, please.
Good evening, how y'all doing?
All right.
I'm Clitus Langwell with Clock Engineers and Surveyors. I'm here tonight to represent Ariel Laws and Company. I think all y'all know Mr. Butch Blochek is here with me also. What we're asking, and I think you have in front of you a copy of a traditional neighborhood ordinance that was passed by West Baton Rouge Parish. And what we're asking is if you would go ahead and start the process to have this ordinance approved and become part of your ordinances. Now, I talked to Mr. Tommy, your attorney, tonight, and I'm going to forward him a Word document with it in it, because the one you have right now is going to say West Baton Rouge Parish Hall in it. So, of course, you know, should you choose to go ahead and approve this, which I'm hoping you will, we'll change everything in there to the town of Ruley. And also, too, we'll have to tweak it a little bit to meet your planning commission, your times and dates and those different things, and kind of get those things changed.
I also asked Cletus to send me a copy of the one from Fort Allen, because he told me that they streamlined some of the procedures in Fort Allen.
Yeah, that's what you were supposed to send me a long time ago.
Yeah. I'm going to apologize to you, man, because something happened with my survey, and I sent out a whole bunch of emails that didn't go out, and I'm right. Taking you one of them, and I'm sorry.
Why don't you send it to me, and I'm going to forward it to the council members. We have the one we have is.
I'll hand deliver it to you tomorrow. I'll have it hand delivered to you tomorrow.
I'd rather electronic, actually. Yeah. You can hand deliver it if you want to, but save us some paper. But the one I really need is where I can.
And the biggest difference between the two is going to be the process of approval. You'll notice when you're going through this thing kind of it jumps back and forth and talks about how you get things approved and how you go through the process. This process was actually originally made for more of a legislative type of government. In other words, you were going to go and get ordinances approved before you even came back and started doing different types of things inside of your jurisdiction. It actually made the county that made this in Minnesota actually made the council the governing body over the T&D. So the developer had to go to the council, get the council on his side. The council would vote, and he'd go out and do the work. So it was kind of, we streamlined that process with the Fort Allen one. We took it out of the way. It now talks about planning commissions, councils. You go one time instead of three times. Your advertisement more meets what the one we met, the Fort Allen ordinance, which that's what I was telling you a little while ago. You would have to streamline this to meet y'all council meetings and your community reports. Because in this one, it's only going to talk about you to go in front of the commission, you go in front of administration, and you go in front of the council where y'all have committee meetings.
Cletus, I'll briefly talk to some of the council members, and let's see if I'm going to try to say this as carefully as I can. If one of these things would get approved, the way it would happen is, first of all, there has to be a change in ordinance to even allow it. Then a developer, that being Sinclair, would come forward and say, okay, now we want to rezone the property. Now that there's a zoning code in there, we want to rezone the property to put a T&D over this particular plot of land. And then the discussion was so, well, you know, like, what about the drainage? What about this? What about that? You know, and all that stuff. So at one time or another, there's going to be discussions by this council, by the planning commission, et cetera, relative to whether the town of Ruley wants this type of development in their community. It would seem a little futile to put the ordinance into effect and then at some later date express all these concerns and then turn down the request to rezone it. But on the other hand, it would seem premature to say, well, we're going to approve this thing, but we want you to show us everything that you're going to do, what it's going to look like, the shape, the drainage, the traffic, everything else. So it's kind of like when, I'm struggling with when is the appropriate time to air out the concerns and the discussion. You know, I have a lot of concerns. And I think it would be better and save everybody a lot of time if you look at this thing, it costs us a fortune to just publish it if we pass it. I think it would be more appropriate, and I'll let the council decide, that we have a more in-depth discussion about what the specific plans are now rather than later.
And
what I mean by that is the, you know, all the questions, not every question, but a lot of questions need to be asked now rather than pass the ordinance and then some few times say, we don't want to do that. Now, I don't know what everybody else thinks, because the right way to do it is you go to the Planning Commission and they do a public hearing, then they drop it in the council's lap with a recommendation. This is so big that it might be better to just go ahead and discuss it at the ordinance level, and then at another time, maybe we wouldn't have as much to talk about.
If you go, I think if we go through our schedule right now, we're looking at the ordinance. If it went through the whole process, didn't have any snags, it would be approved at your December 13th meeting. I think if that's correct with the schedule we had.
Yeah.
If you go and you read in the documents you're going to read right now, and you use the exact words, the first process after, let's just say we went through and we got the ordinance approved. The next process, we're going to come in front of you with...
Ain't no way a change to the zoning ordinance could happen that quickly.
Well, I'm just saying if you would have...
No, but I'm just saying...
Right. That's what I said, no snags.
No,
the advertising...
No, what I'm telling you is that can't happen that quickly.
Okay, well, and
by law.
The first thing you would have is you'd come in with a general implementation plan. And what that is, it's actually just a booklet that we're going to put together, and it's going to show you a generalized area that we're going to work in, what we're going to do, and it refers back to the ordinance. Then once that gets approved, And in that, you things you cover, drainage, traffic,
let me be more frank about it. It's a different way of life from what we're used to in this town. We're not talking about drainage, we're not talking about streets yet. We're talking about a different way of doing business. We have over the last several years made a bunch of changes to our ordinance to get rid of multifamily dwellings, small dwellings. We try to reflect what the public is telling us. Public don't want trailers. We're getting rid of trailers. Public don't want little houses they can turn into rental units. I mean, I'm going to talk later on tonight about somebody that wants to build some more townhouses right there. I told him he's wasting his time. So that discussion needs to be held before we pass an ordinance and then come with all this drainage stuff and all that. I mean, you know, all that's going to get resolved, but the philosophical part is the part that needs to be
discussed. Well, and I guess whenever y'all are ready for that, we can make sure that we have the proper people here. Yeah. You know, we'll have Steve and his whole team here, and myself and Butch, and we can cover those bases. And just tell us when you want us here and when you want to start that process. Because, I mean, right now we're just looking at the process of getting the ordinance approved. If you want to go ahead and get into nuts and bolts.
Well, that's my opinion. No, the council members are here. Ms. Bourgeois is not here. She's sick. But, I think it's eventually the philosophical discussion is going to be held. Now, whether we want to do it now in the front end or we want to do it later on in the back end, it's still going to be held. I mean, that's... if nobody else wants to talk about it, I certainly want to talk about it, you know.
I
know the council members well enough to know they're going to want to talk
if
about
you had, it. Even if you had an ordinance in place, you're looking at about a 4 to 6 months process of seeing me at every one of your meetings.
Oh, my God.
You get plenty of time to pass it over, so it, whenever you want to start, I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Well, I think what the mayor's getting at is, say if this went off with no snags and it passed, and then you came back wanting to put some stuff in there, and we were shooting it down left and right, what good is this document? I think is what he's saying.
That's what I'm saying. Dude.
And the first thing I need to do is read 41 pages of stuff before I even think about introducing anything, to be honest.
And Shane, let me give y'all a number right on the bottom of y'all packet right now, 445-1330. That is my cell number. If you read this document, you have any questions and anything that you do not understand, I'll be glad to try and answer it for you.
445.
1330.
If I could, let me just kind of try to say something, and you tell me if I'm right and if it kind of helps. This is, you know, what you're not, and I think what the mayor may be confused on is a TND is for a development of a large area. Zoning and whatever covers lots, okay, and it also covers subdivisions, but a TND is for an area that's considerably larger than a traditional subdivision type development.
Correct.
And the TND part of the ordinance, TNDs necessarily include aspects that if you look at a zoning ordinance, as zoning has developed over the last 75 years in this country, TNDs break all sorts of molds within that entire development, because if the whole development is approved and zoned as a TND, then for just that development, you're allowed to break what are traditional zoning rules for other zoning districts. But what you can't answer ahead of time, because each TND is different, is the TND ordinance is a framework. It gives you a superstructure, you know, it's the beams and whatever, and how you come in and build it out. In other words, what kind of offices, retail, if you're building a building, okay, it's kind of the same thing. What kind of development you put in there, what kind of drainage and where you're going to propose it is going to be different for every TND. And let's, y'all are proposing one, but let's say somebody else on the outskirts surrounding Brule, you could have five different TNDs, and they would each one of them look different. But the town approving the framework does not mean that the town loses control of the appropriate approval of each one of those TNDs when they come to do it. So what I think the mayor's fear is that once you approve this ordinance, that the town's going to lose control over drainage and other things.
No.
That they need to have control.
If you look in that first part of the ordinance,
that's not at all my fear. I clearly understand how it works.
And I understand what the mayor is saying.
The least bit of confusion. I just don't think that it's good for the town to have a philosophical discussion on the end rather than at the beginning. I mean, I just don't think so.
I understand.
A different way of doing business.
And if you look, Mr. Tom, to answer your question, in this ordinance, somewhere right in the beginning of it, tells you, and I think West Boundary Parish set their acreage at 50. Most of them are 150, but they said there's a 50, and because Kevin felt that he wanted to have some smaller type of divisions, and not only this is your ordinance. What you get behind this is going to be covenant codes that are going to come with it. Once you get them in your specific plan, it's going to be about this thing. The one for Mr. Bubba and them was 280 something pages.
How's that one going?
Well, as soon as the financing market gets right, or you can give me some good financing, we're going.
Yeah, okay.
The thing is you get more restrictive covenants and codes that come after this that actually govern what your building types are and what your actual build-outs are going to be.
I don't know what I'm talking. Any council members want to say anything?
Joe, you'd like to say something?
Go ahead.
Look, we're willing to do anything that y'all want to do. I mean, we don't want to, you know, push this down your throat or anything like that. We want to work with the council. It's just a plan right now. But we do need an ordinance in place, because the first place we want to start, if it gets approved, is around the Brule Elementary School in the city side, you know.
Yeah.
But we have someone that can come and answer all the questions that you have. We'd be willing to work with you. He knows the plan is probably going to change than what he first offers you, because you're going to have some opposition and things that y'all want to change that maybe y'all might not approve everything that we want to do. But anyhow, we just want to let you know that we're going to work with y'all any way we can. If y'all want us to go ahead and do this first, I think we will. If you want to do this before we pass the ordinance, but like Tom said, it's just a framework of the way that the thing is going to operate. But I just want you to
y'all want to just invite them here next next set of committee meetings and we'll talk about it? Is that too soon?
They're working on the code right now, Joey. I don't think they finished with that. Steve Oob, the architect, as soon as he gets that finished, the first plan, then we'll have something to present.
What is it that Cletus gave us?
The code, the ordinance.
The ordinance.
And it's, see, that's what I'm saying. There's about three or four different things. The code is going to be actually what governs what the buildings sizes, lot sizes, and those type of things, and what the actual architecture inside of the T&D will look like. See, it's about four different things, man. I think y'all really need to read this document. And I think you're going to get to some parts of it. That's why I gave you my phone number. You'll need to call me, because it comes out the way you have to have different things in place before you can do different things. That's why I said you're gonna get tired of seeing me. I'm not going to lie to you. You're going to see me, like I said, if the ordinance was approved today and I was in here just telling you I wanted you to do my general implementation plan, it's 4 to 6 months. You're going to see me up here every time, every meeting you have, every committee meeting and every general meeting you have. And the reason being is because you have to approve. It gives y'all a lot of approval process. And if any changes are made, you're reading there about minor and major changes. Any changes are made to the plan, they have to come to y'all for approval. And not the planning commission, they have to come to the governing authority, which is the council, to get them approved. So if they present a plan to y'all, and then it comes out that you need to change it or whatever, and they have to come back to y'all for approval. So that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of things that need to be done, but the code, Mayor, more, it kind of drills down to the nuts and bolts and says, this is what the lot size is going to be, this is what your house size will be, and this is what your architecture is going to look like.
And I go back to my thing. The ordinance is just the framework.
That's it.
The code is the build-out. It shows what you're actually going to put in that place, and does the council still has an approval on that.
That's correct.
Exactly.
Okay? Exactly.
And so by approving the ordinance, that just gives you the power to even consider whether you want to do the code in the first place. Because if you never approve a T&D ordinance, well, guess what? Nobody can ever come to you, and you'll never be bothered with anybody to do a T&D because you won't have approved to do it in your community. You could do them all, the parish could approve them all the way around us, but if we don't want it in the town, then, I mean, that's a choice.
Right.
And so,
but I think you need to look at it, though.
Consider. But I just want to be sure to understand that, you know.
And I'm going to be honest, I really expect y'all to have a lot of questions. I mean, it's just because it's something new and it's totally different. I expect you to have a lot of questions. I would even be willing to say we probably have a meeting that we're just going to sit here and talk about it. And I'm okay with that. I think that's probably what needs to be done to make sure you clearly understand the steps and everything that needs to be done. You know, and if you, like I said, man, like Mr. Bush said, whatever we need to do, we're willing to do. You know, this is our first step. We've had our charrette. We've got a lot of input. We've come up with a typical design of what they think would look good there. He's writing the codes for that now. So that'll be our next step. I think he's probably, I would imagine, just judging by the other ones we've done, he's still a month or so away with that, because it takes at least a 2 to 3 month period to do that.
I think what the mayor's saying is he needs to have the philosophical discussion up front as to whether we even want to.
I think there's some questions about lot sizes and about what would be on the lots and what would govern how those lots are governed afterwards. You know, if you have a bunch of small 40-foot lots, you have a bunch of small homes put in there, what governs them? I'm be honest with you, this is the only thing with the restrictive covenants that go inside these things. This is the only thing I feel really comfortable with small lots. I'm going to be honest with you. Because I was against all the other small lots they had, but with this, I felt really comfortable. You'll see when you get the codes and stuff like that and everything that's going to go with them, it only allows you to do certain things. And you can actually vote some of those things out that you don't want. I mean, you don't want to ever be rental property, you can add it to the code. You can say, this is never going to be rental property. And it sticks. And it gives you teeth, because then you go back upon them, it's all tied back through. You can go through the assessor's office, you can file liens on them, they have to pay up through the assessor's office, the whole works. So there's no way they're going to get away from it. It's not like a typical homeowner association where they say, well, we may enforce this, we may not. It takes that out your hands. You don't have that option. That whatever is not enforced, it goes straight through it. You have a law that actually bite, and you have teeth in it. Because the code, you're going to adopt the code, it's going to become an ordinance.
I want to read this before I do anything.
Yes, sir.
And then I want to get a timetable.
Okay, I have. Oh, okay.
How long you have time to build this to speak?
I'll read this.
Yes.
How do I educate myself to the point that I truly understand what all we're talking about? And if we all call you individually, it may be the same, might be the same questions.
That's fine.
How can we educate ourselves to truly understand?
You can do a lot of research on the internet. I'm telling you what, TDs, and if you're going to research the ones on the internet, research the ones that are done in Florida, because most of those are done, actually done by the, either the counties or the actual municipalities themselves, because they actually govern everything. They do have a lot of them out in like Minnesota and you know, those type of areas, because that's kind of where they kind of got started. If y'all wanted to, I think y'all all have email address through the city. If y'all all pretty much use y'all email address, I'm sure y'all do in nowadays. Maybe not Shane, but I see Shane in the head. But, I mean, if you wanted to submit a question, like say if you submitted a question to me, and I say, Mr. Abad submitted this question, this is my answer, and I shoot it back out to everybody. That's how we did it the last time. Pretty much we had everybody just submit the questions to me, and I just submitted either an email or, in Shane's case, I'd be glad to send him a mail.
Well, I'll give you another email address. My home or anything comes through the town, I don't fool with it because I get about 600 emails a week.
I understand. But I'm going to be honest with you, Mr. Yeah. By the time this is over with, communication is a key to this. You do have to have a lot. That's why I said when you read this document, I expect you to have a lot of questions because these things are going to cover in a broad range, in a broad scope of things that you're not used to seeing and not used to dealing with. And there's going to be a lot of things in here. I'm going to say, if you go on the internet, search the definitions of a lot of these words, and then you'll find out exactly what they mean. I think we do have a definition page in this ordinance, though, and it covers everything. But I know when I read it, I had to go through it a couple of times before I did it. But this is the third or fourth one I've done, so I'm pretty used to doing it. And I actually, my wife and I rewrote the ordinance for Port Allen, so I'm pretty well familiar with it.
If we schedule them to come back for a committee meeting, it's going to be a long one.
That's fine.
Y'all want to do that, or y'all want to have a special session where we just talk to them?
Or it is a big project. We have to commit to time to learn it.
I personally, if somebody else asks a question, I want to hear the question. And if I ask a question, I want them to hear the question.
Yeah, right.
And I want us all to hear the answer. I do a lot of business by email, but I'd much rather have it in an open discussion where everybody can hear it. And that way, if the question can be best answered by Butch, he can answer it. If it can be best answered by the architect, he can answer it. If it can best be answered by you, he can answer it. If, you know, we have an opinion, everybody will hear it.
Something like this seems that it crosses a multitude of our committees anyway.
Yeah, it does.
So
it does.
It's not like one of us or the planning committee or the public works committee can sit down with these people like on some smaller subdivisions. Yeah.
Okay, y'all want to try next month or not?
Let me ask you just one question.
Yes, sir.
And I said I wasn't going to do this, but I just, you did me like you wouldn't believe it. This one right here says that it's a minimum of 50 acres.
Yes.
Right? Okay. And back here it says the number of multifamily units shall be, not maybe, shall be 8 to 40 dwelling units per net acre. So, is this one document telling me that if it's a minimum of 50 acres and it could be anywhere from 8 to 40 multifamily units, there could be 2,000 multifamily units in a 50-acre tract?
It has some of that stuff in it. And language, actually, that shall language came out of East Baton Rouge Parish. East Baton Rouge Parish put together about a 40-person panel to review this ordinance at the same time West Baton Rouge Parish was doing it. And same lawyer was doing it for West Baton Rouge Parish was doing that, and that's where this information came from. Some of this stuff was taken out of the Port Allen ordinance.
Well, Cletus, what's the closest TND that we can look at?
Existing River Ranch.
The neighborhood one.
That's the only one that's existing.
There's two in Louisiana. There's another one in Shreveport. Perkins Row is the beginning. It's the commercial part of a TND, but it doesn't have the residential with it. But River Ranch is the closest one that truly exists. Yes.
Let me make sure you understand the timeline because you misstated a little earlier.
And I'm sorry if I did.
No, that's fine. You didn't understand in the town here because, and we're very sensitive to this due to various issues with the zoning ordinance in the past. It's a 2-month time frame from the council meeting in which the ordinance is introduced.
Correct. At minimum.
At minimum.
If everybody is
there. If everything goes fine and there ain't no hiccups, changes, et cetera, due to the three advertising requirement before the planning and zoning commission meets and the 3-month advertising requirement before the council meets, it's 2 months, best case. So if it were introduced, for example, next week on November the 8th, the earliest the council could consider, the earliest would be at the January council meeting.
That's fine.
Okay, so I just want you to understand that.
That's my statement. We don't have a choice.
Yeah, I think maybe when we submitted the dates and we got them back, we may have gotten them back. They may have given them to us based upon it, just thought we were going one idea.
Yeah, just understand that. It's a 2-month minimum.
That's fine.
And can I ask Joey, can I ask you this? We would have to advertise this whole document 3 times.
Right. Well, we wouldn't have to print it, no. We only print it after we pass it. We advertise that there will be a public hearing held for ordinance number such and such with a little heading, you know, like.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're just advertising that.
You advertise it 3 times before it goes to planning commission, goes to planning commission, then after them, then you advertise it 3 more times because it's zoning, only because it's zoning.
Well, it's not after, but it's.
Well, whatever. Exactly. Yeah. In other words, you know, you end up advertising 6 times.
Okay, so
but
the,
not that whole thing.
Yes.
No, no, no.
Okay.
No, that's after we pass it. We'd have to have print it out. No, thank you.
And to answer your question a while ago, I don't think we can put that many on a multi, because if you're looking at, so there's going to be, you're going to have so much per green space, you have so much per landscaping and stuff. So you got a certain percentage of green space and landscaping to go along in that 50. I want to say it's like 20 something percent of it's not to be green space. So that cuts your usable area down. And so it kind of, that's where those percentages, you got to add all the percentages up. If you look at, there's a percentage that's going to be residential, a percentage that can be commercial, a percentage that has to be green space, landscape, and then you have your multi.
But it still looks like it's going to be a high number of units.
It could be if you have a large tract of land. Yes.
What size tract of land?
Now we're looking at about 20 to 30 acres, but I think only about 5 or 6 acres of it will actually be in the city limits at this point. It'll be everything from the school north.
To Ori Drive.
Right, in that same little slot. Plus we'll have some connectivity in that area to the side streets coming off of Iowa.
And you're going to be able to tell them what those areas that are in the town, whether that's going to be part of the commercial, the residential, the
correct.
Green.
They'll tell you all
of
that.
Whatever.
They'll tell you
right.
All that.
It's going to be
that'll all be part of the code. Once
that's what they're working on right now.
Okay.
Once he has a code,
I think that's what they really want to know.
And that's why we can't tell him right now, because once he has a code
right.
Drilled
right.
Down.
Let's not have the discussion. Let's, why don't we just schedule it for the first Monday in December. And we'll put you on the agenda.
Can I make a suggestion that we put them
at the end?
Way down.
Yeah. So we'll put them on the other matters.
Meeting,
yeah.
Go through our meeting first.
And yeah, we'll put them on the other matters.
For 2 hours.
Yeah, we'll put them on to other matters.
That's fine.
So that's going to be December 6th?
The 6th.
Whatever the first Monday is.
It's the 6th.
Yes.
All right.
It's the 6th.
If there's a scheduling problem, I'll let you know. I hope Steve Wu can be at that meeting.
Well, he really,
I'll see if he, I'll make sure.
December 6th. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
That's the Monday date?
Yes, December 6th.
We're
going to
move it.
All right, where are we? 6 minutes of meeting. They're in your package. If you have any corrections or adjustments, we'll take them up next time. Committee resolution number such of 2010, the DEQ environmental audit. Anybody wishes to review it? You read it carefully?
Every year since I've been on.
Okay, well then you can reread it again because it's going to be on the agenda next time. You can recommend to us whether we should vote for it. You can recommend to your fellow council members whether they should vote for it or not.
Did they
if you read it, you'll be the only one.
No, I'm good. It's good.
As long as I'm no generator, I'm good.
If you hear it,
all right. Public Works, Let's go to planning and zoning. The top three derelict buildings, the top one on Gwynn Street is the lady that has supposedly in December she's going to get her estate resolved, and hopefully it'll move after that. 626 West Main is...
Are you doing some work on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's... The papers have been delivered. The papers have been delivered, and the family has been told if they want to appeal it, that they need to be in next week's meeting. Ted, we need to put that on the agenda, by the way. And the one on St. John is a new, it's a house that's in really bad shape, and I've written a letter to the owner and asked her to contact me. Wrote it, I think, last week about this time, and she hasn't contacted me, so the next step is that we have to just move forward with an inspection. But those are the three. And, you know, that's all I have to offer on that, unless anybody has any questions. All right. Next is street overlay. Last time I told you all there was a possibility that we would want to do one more change order. And we asked the contractor for a price, and the contractor went and did the work without getting approval.
You just got a free street.
Well,
sounds like
the good news is they did it for the unit price, so the total is $2,529. So I'm gonna recommend next week that we authorize the change order in the amount of $2,529. All I can say is I'll just be glad when this whole contract is over. That's all I can say.
Joey, before you get too far off that street, if you approve in that, you'd consider their work complete? Because to keep the steps moving, you most probably, if y'all figure they're finished, they ought to request substantial completion so y'all can pass that so we can get a certificate filed.
Well, we passed the substantial completion last time.
Okay.
And we actually passed it last month on the condition that they finished the punch list. Wayne is still working with him on the punch list.
Okay.
And it's you know, it's going slow, let's put it that way. And right now I'm going to tell you, while the recorder's running, the next time we do a contract, I want you to put a clause in there that says that the contractor who bids it has only a small percentage that they can sub out to somebody else. Okay? 10%, whatever the standard is, because basically the...
He subbed 100%.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, can we get him to clean this up? Okay, I'll call Coastal and ask him to come.
I don't understand that world at all, because Coastal had a set of plans and didn't bid the project.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it doesn't work as good.
If you're having trouble with some of those cleanup issues, let me know. A phone call.
Wayne will call you.
A phone call to the right people gets that moving.
Well,
I know people at Coastal. I know Raymond too. So
all right. What do you call? Planning. But we didn't have anything on the agenda again this time. We hadn't had. Was that 4 months in a row now?
Sound like you get ready
to have a fun time.
Yeah. Well, they ain't there yet. All right. Next one is Finance Committee. October bills.
Does they have a quorum?
Two of them, Debbie, on the first page. They one after the other, Quality Building Systems and ZZ Construction.
Yeah, that was those two. Those are the lockers and the building that we bought for the school. The top one is the building, the bottom one is the lockers.
Okay.
What building?
We in our recreation budget, we bought a building, a little small building for the equipment. Pretty quick.
What about the very first one? La Fouche Parrot. Sure.
That was Academy for Ann Gainsley.
Yeah. We'll be getting that $750 back. Ed, I had to take him out of that academy. It was a very fast-paced academy. It was an 8-week academy, which they, most of them now 13 weeks. They summed 13 weeks up into 18 weeks. And it was in his best interest and my best interest to get him out of that one. And he'll be going to the regular base academy in January.
Right, second page, Rudy Car Care, $1,001.47.
Okay, that's for a beer on, I guess, the cheese vehicle, will that be in your truck?
Yes.
And Crown Vic number 7, brakes, unit 5, an alternator, and armor change on the Dodge, and then three tires on unit 6.
It is a bunch of repairs, yes. All bunched into one.
Yeah, mine wasn't a whole mirror, it was just a glass portion.
Well, let's break that down, okay? The mirror was how many dollars out of a thousand? Roughly.
Yes, sir.
I'd have to go back and look at the actual invoice.
I mean, Crown Vic brakes, an alternator, oil change.
Alternators average about $500-$600 with the Department of Labor, I want to say. Because I just signed one the other day.
Can you break that down for us next time? Give us copies of that one. I'll request a copy of that one.
I'll email it to you.
I think the labor cost on a, if I'm not mistaken, I may be way wrong, to replace, say, an alternator was like $68 on the one I signed recently, and the part was expensive. Those cars actually have a...
That's a different kind of alternator.
It actually has
high output.
High output.
All that equipment.
Just make a copy.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
First page, almost all the way down to the bottom, Midwest radar and equipment, $245.
Certification for 7 radars.
We do that twice a year.
Every 6 months.
Yeah, you're required.
Yeah, every 6 months. They come out and actually calibrate and certify that they are true and correct and functioning properly.
I see clothing here for him to go to camp posted. Have we done that before? I don't ever remember buying clothes that were posted.
Yeah, we have. It's like in LaFouche, you gotta have certain color jogging pants, tennis shoes, polo shirts. They don't wear uniforms and stuff anymore. The last one we sent to LaFouche was, I know Joe Anderson went to LaFouche.
Oh, I didn't know there was one around. Gonna go to Post Down. I don't know where
it's been a little while since we had to send one through. Yeah, it's very expensive. And then it's got to be certain color stuff without any markings or what have you on it. No pockets.
No swoosh.
No swooshes.
Swooshes.
So will he be able to use all this stuff?
Yes, he would. Yes, sir. I actually have it. Had it brought back to the office and put in a box in a closet so it doesn't get worn for anything else, because it will be used to go in on January 13th or 14th, whichever date that is.
Anybody else?
The only other one I see is Addis Hardware. First page at the bottom, $426.90.
First page?
Yeah, first page, right above Midwest radar.
I can look that up for you because I don't know if some laws for maintenance or police. I don't know, but I can look that up for you.
Anybody else?
On the Visa charges, Jamie, the Honda Lafayette generator, community outreach, what is that for?
That was that is a small 2,000 watt generator. It'll be used to power lights and fan and things of that nature for checkpoints whenever we do a nighttime checkpoint, or if we're out using it as a function of cooking for community outreach, it can be used for that.
Must be
a
Honda generator.
It's a Honda. It's very small and very quiet. Yeah. That instead of the big,
like 43 dBs.
Yeah.
That's 100% police use.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. It's outside, locked up in the trailer right now.
That's pretty nice.
It's as soon as I get everything complete, I'm waiting on L&T to finish the signs and stuff on it. I'd like to cook for the council at, you know, of course the town can't pay for it, at maybe the December meeting or something, and actually show you the trailer with the, it's a dual purpose. The sign says community outreach and traffic services. We can pull that thing out there. It's got traffic cones in it, and our roadblock signs, lights, you know, what we can do that night.
Have you ordered decals for you?
Yes. They're making aluminum signs to put on it, because I don't find that the vinyl stickers last like they should. So hopefully, we'll have the signs before the next committee meeting.
Anybody else? All right. Personnel Committee, Ordinance number 76 of Chapter 4. We talked about this briefly last time. Made a suggestion. You can see what's underlined. In 4.2, it says, includes mayor and chief of police, but does not include any other elected officials. And then in 12, that was when we changed the ordinance, we referred to the wrong section. It just changed the number that it refers to, which is not a substantive change. But. So if y'all have a better way, if y'all have another way you prefer to word it, I'm good with that too. Just want to make sure it was in there. Any questions or comments? Y'all know what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Ready to move on?
Yep.
Okay. Recreation, I'm not aware of anything.
Got the broom pulled out on Friday. Oh,
yeah.
Where?
What happened?
Big game. Big game playoff implications for both teams.
And I'm happy to report we had no issues at all at the Brule-Plaquemine game.
Wasn't that the one that break 3 years ago? We had
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Every other year we get, one year we get Plaquemine.
Like last year.
Yeah, 1 year we get Plaquemine, 1 year we get Fort Allen home. Last time we had Plaquemine here, it was an interesting night that night and an interesting court night, and they all showed up to court. But no issues to speak of.
Good. Police committee, top 5 nuisances.
I have the addresses because I didn't give them to Daddy. Just to let y'all know, myself, the mayor, and Mr. Landis took us a ride last week, I think it was. Kind of got on the same page with all this again, so we're all 3 on the same page. I like to switch this right now to the top 3. 5 is a little too much to really work on. Number 1 is going to be 309 Northbourne. There's 3 vehicles and some other cleaning up that needs to be done. That's right here.
Chair?
Yes. That residence, I found that was the worst one out of all the ones we looked at.
You got 2 red cars there down, doesn't it?
3.
You got a common school?
Unless they moved one. They all totaled and stuff. So that's my number 1. And my goal is with all 3 of these is to have letters sent out, and then if they want to appeal it next week, since you have some other appeals coming up. We're gonna try to hand deliver them all, which should be fairly easy. I think at these 3 places, they're always there.
So.
Number 2, I don't know the exact address. I haven't got on the assessor's website. Is it actually covers 2 pieces of property, but it's 2 different addresses. But I'm gonna consider it 1 place. Miss Henrietta Woods is.
The one right before?
Yes, and then Victor Woods Senior, who is now dead. Those 2 properties, kind of combined into 1. The trick with that one is, and Tom maybe can help me on this, there's never been any succession on Miss Woods' property, so I don't know who we would send a letter to as the property.
You send a letter to whoever's listed on the property tax roll. property tax roll address.
But I'm scared that it's still going to show.
Doesn't matter. You send it. If it gets kicked back, that's where you start.
Yeah, and it's car, so the car owner should get letters also.
Well, no, yeah. And the car owner, you run the VIN, and you send it to that address.
To that address. So
you got to send it to both if you have a car.
Correct.
If there's a difference between the owner of the car and the owner of the property, then you send it to both.
Right. And then on the Victor Woods Sr., his property, which I'm considering as part of this one too, there's...
Be very careful, because if you've got different listed owners on the assessment rolls, you can't change that.
No. I'm saying top three here.
No, I understand.
I'm just considering that as one instead of two for my purposes, not for letter purposes or anything like that.
Okay, well, but if it's a separate owner, you've got to treat it separately absolutely. For letter purposes.
Absolutely. And then the, I'm sorry, I did have them separate. I didn't have that address because it was not supposed to be the Victor Wood address.
What about the Bynum property?
That'll be number... Three. And Mr. Landis's suggestion on that one, there's three race cars which fall into our, they can be there because they're race cars. We're going to try to talk to them and see if we can have them move them, behind where they're a little bit more out of sight. There's one vehicle left there that does not fall into our category that we can send a letter on. We're going to try to negotiate with them to move those three cars and get rid of them.
Okay. The mayor of the town is a former engineer. Okay. Mm-hmm. And as a former engineer, you got to put up with it. We need that list updated. You need to give the information to Debbie. As soon as you deliver all these letters and all, give the information. We'll change it for you.
Okay.
But I want to update it, and then I want to send it to the council members attached to an email, but we need to have it updated every month before we get in here so that we don't have one thing on the wall that's different from what you're talking about.
Correct.
That's what we have. And that way we can, if there's some of them that move down to the closed category or whatever, we need to keep that up. This has worked so far, we need to keep it working.
That's correct. And I told Mr. Landis, it's been my fault. I haven't done anything with the nuisance stuff. We've had a lot of, the bench warrant program and stuff we're working on, which we don't. L and Alphabet have been putting them, and just a lot of other stuff that I consider more important than what's going on. But
what about this derelict construction?
What about it? Which one?
That was the one we covered a while ago.
Miss Farouk's property?
No.
Yeah, he's scheduled for next Monday.
Okay.
To come in, and if he doesn't come in, then we proceed.
All right. What about Farouk? Kind of work they doing on that property?
No, he's talking about the June property. He's not talking about the Farouk property.
Well, I don't know where we have them now.
Right here. The Farouk property, they've removed the, what's his name, building?
Elton's
building. They've supposedly repaired this little shed, and they're working on the inside, recovering lumber from the inside, working their way out. So right. We'll see next week where that's at.
Yeah, they're down to studs and at least two ones on the inside.
Have you seen?
No, I haven't seen.
I'm gonna try and contact.
But you can
see they'll invite me to go with
them. They got private property signs put up all over the
thing. Yeah, you can go take a look in there, and you can. I'll try to find out. The guy only is working Friday afternoons and Saturdays, so I'll try to find out if he's gonna be out there this Friday, and I'll let y'all know.
Oh, great.
A lot of private property signs are coming up right now. I don't know if it's the case on this piece of property because of pecan picking. Mm-hmm. People will pull up and start picking pecans, and they live in another
at a state. Dollar a pound.
Run off.
But I think it would be a very good idea. I'm going to be out of town. As I told you.
I'll try and contact somebody.
I'm going back this Sunday. But if you go out there and
but
get
you can
on
see
the
where
inside, Elton's,
like you can see the shed from Main Street now. You can see where his house is going.
Elton's world.
Yeah.
But if you can get with Rodney and go and actually look for yourself, it'd be better than, because, with these no trespassing signs.
They got new wood on the shed. They just got to paint it. So.
All right. Governmental affairs, I don't know of anything. Other matters, I don't know of anything. The mayor's report, the the front column that was run over has been repaired. You know, all of them sure have noticed the trees planted along the St. Francis. We've got water bags out there. Hopefully the sky will water them soon. We made it through the one more step of, I don't know how many steps, through the bond commission with the $100,000 capital outlay.
You did?
Yeah, we did make it, you know.
Priority two money,
and we're going to, that supposedly helps us next year to get the rest of it, but whatever. We made it that far. If I read the paper that we had another one of those state of the parish, state of the town, things I went to and talked about the town, and it's kind of ironic, I was bragging on how we have tight controls of our zoning and all that, so we'll see what this TNP that does. But anyway, I actually was a Lions Club member, but they gave me a thing because I was mayor, a certificate with the red ribbon thing at all the schools. But Lukeville had a little assembly, and they asked me to speak at it, so I did. Attended the Teacher of the Year thing they have every year at Brian's Furniture. It was nicely done. The Water Board, I thank them. I thank Jim Rills personally, but the Water Board helped me resolve an issue with an individual who was not paying his sewer bill. We made arrangements for him to go out there and turn the water off, just coincidentally right at the time that the Barber's Review Board came out to inspect his place, shut him down. He came to the town hall, and we renegotiated his lease so that he pays $35 more per month in his lease, and we're going to now bill Bruner family for the sewer, so we don't expect to have that problem again. Last but not least, Donnie Jaro and Jim Tatum came to visit me last week. And they want to do the other side, some townhouses on the other side. I told Donnie Jaro that he could expect a rocky road if he tried to do it. So when he left, it kind of sounded like he was going to go in another direction. He was looking around for other things to do with that property. But, he's...
Mow it? Good thing you do.
Yeah, well, he has somebody to mow it, but he didn't get a pay another really regularly. But anyway, Joey. they kind of sound like they're trying to do something. Yes?
Joey.
Yes.
Donnie Jaro still owns that?
No. You know what happened? Yeah, he still owns it.
It was sold at sheriff's sale?
No, it was sold at Rudy bought it at tax sale.
Okay.
And they changed the name. Now, I told him, I said, what are you doing here? I said, you don't even own the property. He said, what do you mean I don't own? I still own the property. He said, well, when it's just the website, it's somebody else. He said, he must have bought it at tax sale. He said, I have that all the time. People do that. He said, I got to go get him to pay the taxes.
Okay.
No, he still owns it. I was totally confused. I didn't know what was going on.
Well, I was wondering how Rudy could ask.
Yeah.
And then,
turns out the contractor that was over here, when I told Jim Tatum says, he's using my drawings? He said, yeah, it's supposed to be us. I don't want people using my drawings, but come to find out Donnie Jaro had given their drawings to the guys. There's a lot of confusion, okay. But it all got straightened out. Anyway, the point is that I don't think they will be coming, but I could be wrong.
You got any updates? I know the parish is doing a bunch of drainage work up around Mendale. What are they going to do past that as far as moving south or moving west?
It's from what Pee Wee said the other day at the state of the parish, there's one set of culverts that's being bored under the highway right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the state has come to the conclusion that there was too much water, and they're going to do three of their own, and in pretty short order to move even more water across the highway. In addition to that, Pee Wee has an engineering firm, and I don't know the name of the firm, but he has an engineering firm who's recommended different things, one of which is taking about 4 feet out of the bottom of the parish canal, and also that that drainage, reservoir approach that they talk about, mm-hmm. dumping the water in the woods. That's all I know, right? And they're doing a lot of work down at Emily Drive.
Yeah, they opened the parish canal up on the other end.
They're watering way down Emily. They're clearing out.
Oh, yeah, they got a huge widening something out that canal they had.
Were they widening?
They winding out between Emily and that wooded property that they clear cut.
Yeah,
and they're going to come in and dig.
Oh, on Charles Reed's property?
Yeah.
they're going to come in.
You mentioned the middle of Charles Reed? Like more on the other side of Charles Reed?
No, it's like
between
the back south side of Emily.
There's a very small, it's a shallow.
There's a big ditch between Emily Drive and the Cane Field.
Oh, so. Right.
And then there's a small ditch on the north side of Emily, runs all the way to the end, but it's just grown up.
Yeah.
But across that property, before you get to the Spillway Sportsman wooded area, is what they call Paddy's Ditch, which is
ditch
runs all the way to Paris.
This is directly on the back side of. Back of the on the north side of Emily, a little small.
How big is the ditch they gonna make?
It's huge.
12 foot across the top. I want to say about 4 foot deep. It's
and all the way on the island.
Yeah.
No, they also cleaned it on the south side. They widened that ditch by 20 feet or something. Huge.
Really?
It's supposed to be 12 across
the
top and 4 foot deep. From what they sent out to the residents.
Are they going
to
widen the parish canal?
They're just going to make it deeper. Water up there into the parish canal.
I think dredge.
I mean, it's a Tongue Canal.
4 foot deeper.
It's not going to be able to dump it deep.
Well, that's why they're trying to get drainage through the parish canal to get it out of here. But I'm still waiting. I was promised, and I think it's going to happen when they do meet with the engineers to come up with a big plan. I'm going to be invited.
When are they supposed to start all this work?
Well, I don't know. They digging at what he's talking about.
I heard right they tied in the parish canal and the north, I guess, east and then to that cut Bubba Phillips had where they had that river boat. Where they tied it into that. It was dammed up.
I don't know.
It all flowed this way years ago. It flowed like that.
They started on Emily about 2 weeks ago, and I would say they all they passed Brian Prejean's house.
All right, anybody else?
Did I hear Cletus say that only 5 acres of this TND is on Brewery city limits?
That's what he said. That's what he said.
I mentioned to him, and y'all aware of it, he's got sewer and water issues. Man, I mean, let him
start that discussion. He got no sewer. He got no water.
That's
a big issue.
You don't have enough time. You want to go home? I've just read like 10 pages of that thing, and I got a lot of questions. Lots of questions.
We see this all the time. These massive developments want to come in to build buildings and put people in them, but they don't ever get the utilities to them.
Jim Tatum was telling me the other day that this big time development, Baton Rouge, is really good at it. It's always successful. And he says, you know what the ND stands for? Not doable. I'm telling you, man, my record is still on it. I don't make many bones about it.
You're acting
there's one bubble. Successful one so far, River Ranch. If you go over there, it's like going to Disneyland. Have you been to Disneyland? It's like going to Disneyland. It's like, this can't be true, you know. But there's been people all over the place that said they're going to do it. And ain't one of them done it yet. Ain't none of them.
Because they can't get the money.
What? I mean, you can look at that thing. It looks like Disneyland. It looks like you're building Disneyland. I mean, it's like a fairyland, you know? But the reality is you're going to have somebody step forward and say, oh, yeah, I want to pay $50,000 for a lot to put an 1,100-square-foot house on it. Because so I can walk and see my neighbors.
So you can shake it through the window.
Yeah. Anybody else? Motion adjourned?
No. No.
Just
announcements.
What?
Announcements.
I was just checking to see if y'all paying attention. Fort Allen Veterans Parade, November 7th at 1:30. Veterans Day ceremony here at 11 on November 11th at noon. No garbage pickup on the 25th of November. Town Hall will be closed on November 25th and 26th. And the planning and zoning meeting has been moved to November 23rd. To not have again. All right. All move Miss Andre, second Miss Olin. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Nay. 1-4. 1-4.